you just can't get enough of Prince doing his best juvenile, horny Elvis Presley impression, we have yet another rockabilly track for you. Like the delirious A-side that it was in support of in the US, Horny Toad is a blast of irreverent pop that borrows elements from rockabilly revival that happened in the late 70s and early 80s, and the Minneapolis sound that Prince had been perfecting up to this point. And joining me today to talk about the lyrics to Horny Toad is Zachary Hoskins. Welcome back to the show, Zach.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Zach, it's been a little bit. You joined us last on the Little Red Corvette episode.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was an epic episode, and yeah, we had a lot to talk about there. So maybe if you could just tell the listeners what you're up to and where people can find your work.
Sure. So I have my own track-by-track Prince project. It's a blog, and I've been doing it for, God, this is going to be, this year, 2020, will be the fourth anniversary of it. So it's really been a long haul. It's going to be an even longer haul. But it's called Dance, Music, Sex, Romance. And right now, Jason and I are around the same. I'm just about wrapping up 1999, the album, not the year. And Jason, you just wrapped up 1999. We're kind of in the same. You can jump back and forth between our projects pretty easily. So if you like all of the amazing insight I have to share about Horny Toad, and you want to check out my project, you can find that at princesongs.org.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. And and as you mentioned, wrapping up the 1999 era, and so that's what this is kind of doing. It's like a little bit of housekeeping, trying to get through like the B-sides from this era. And we're up to Horny Toad now. As I mentioned, it was originally the B-side to Delirious in the United States, and I guess in the UK it was the B-side to Little Red Corvette. In the US, the B-side to Little Red Corvette was All Their Critics Love You in New York, which is just another album track. So in the UK, you didn't have to wait until Delirious to hear Horny Toad. In the US, you did. What I understand from this song is it was recorded, you know, around the same time as Delirious, maybe a little bit after, which it kind of sounds similar to. It has kind of a similar vibe, the rockabilly Minneapolis sound mixture. And I just recently came out, as I was looking at Prince Vault, that the song Yeah You Know, which was recently released off the 1999 Super Deluxe Edition, and Horny Toad were recorded on the same day, apparently, in June of 1982.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't think this had a date before the box set came out. So that's interesting. Just a couple days before his birthday.
Yeah, exactly. And I would have guessed, based on the sound of this song, because if anybody who's familiar with the vault tracks that were released on the Super Deluxe Edition, there's a number of rockabilly sounding songs, like ones that are kind of sounding the same. And what I get from that is like Prince was just trying to experiment with this sound and just trying to put something out there that, you know, he felt like was his best effort in this genre.
Right.
So some of them didn't make the final cut, meaning like it didn't make the 1999 album or didn't make a B-side like Horny Toad and Delirious. But I can think of like two or three that kind of borrow that sound and borrow that style that ended up on that Super Deluxe Edition. And so but they weren't recorded on the same day. But so maybe Prince was just like, I recorded this version, I need to like step out of this genre for a bit and do something different, and I'll come back to it with a different recorded song in very near future.
Right. Yeah. And Horny Toad has a very similar, almost identical. I'm not a musicologist, but to my ears, at least, it sounds basically the same as the keyboard line on You're All I Want, which came out on the Vault collection. So, and I think between the two, he chose the right one to put out, because this one is, they're both solid, fun songs. But this one just has the naughtiness to the lyrics is a lot of fun, I think, more so than You're All I Want.
Yeah, yeah. And when I think now that I've heard You're All I Want, and I try sometimes thinking of this song in my head, I get them mixed up.
Yeah, right.
They sound so similar. I'm like, wait a second, is that the right song that I'm thinking of? You know, it's just what it is. And he, like I said, I think he was just experimenting with that genre and the sound. And he was like, okay, well, I'm only going to release one of these. I'm only going to put out one of these versions. And like you said, Horny Toad is the fun, the more fun version, in my opinion, just like you had mentioned. And it's a slight song lyrically, and that's what this podcast is, but we'll go through it. And as far as, like, I hope that you did some research heading into this episode, Zach. So if you're up on your animal biology and some of the environments that the Texas horned frog, also known as the horny toad, Prince must have had a fascination with. Okay.
You know, I was thinking about the whole toad thing, and there's, like, in my mind, I've always connected this song with the Frog Prince, the Brothers Grimm. You know, I've always thought of it as like a stretch of a play on his name, you know, like, mm-hmm. I'm like, my name is Prince, but I'm actually just a horny toad kind of a thing. And I don't know if that's just something that I connected, or if it was, you know, it's hard to like ascribe intention, because it is a little bit of a stretch, right? but I've always just thought about it that way. And when I was kind of like Googling around, I think I was looking for an image when I wrote about this on my blog. And so I like Google image search Prince Horny Toad to see if I could find, you know, something related, like if there was some obscure single cover. You know, sometimes it's hard to find illustrations for these things, as I'm sure you know, when you have to promote your podcast, you know, right, these album tracks. It's like, okay, what I need a picture at the top. What's it going to be? But I found this. It was an eBay listing of a trucker hat that said something like something like what I just said, like I'm not a prince, I'm just a horny toad, or something. I'm not a frog prince, I'm just a horny toad, or something like that. And I don't know when that hat was made. But there is a headcanon of mine is that maybe Prince was at a truck stop and he saw that hat, and that is what inspired this song. I have nothing to back this up. This is just something interesting that I came across.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the chorus, right?
Right.
I'm just a horny toad. So, it's definitely possible. And I would like to, I'm just going to believe that that's what happened.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to be able to prove me otherwise at this point. So, okay, so Horny Toad. Up to this point, we thought Prince was attempting to be subtle about his sexual veracity, but <Right. laughs> but on this track, he is he's very blatant, very, very upfront about it, calling himself a horny toad. And that's, if you're thinking like, oh, he's going to be real clever with the lyrics, looking at the title of the song, he's just going to make maybe some allusions to this slang term for somebody who is thinks about sex all the time. You're wrong, because it's really more of like a sexual deviance hand guide to getting arrested.
Right. Yeah. It struck me listening to the song, you know, line by line, he's really like, all of the things he's describing are deviancies. You know, he starts with, if I had a new number, I'd call you on the phone. I'd breathe real heavy. So it's like, he's an obscene phone caller. Mm-hmm. I want to rub your body, he later says, which is, you know, like frauderism, you know? And then, obviously it escalates to stalking by the third verse. So this is actually like, you know, I described this song as like naughty fun earlier on. It's actually pretty dark, but something about the way he portrays it, he gets away with it. Like, you can tell it's definitely done with a wink. And, you know, I think it's also sort of playing on his image, which, I mean, one thing that he would say on stage a lot is, you know, you love it when I'm bad, you know? And so, and the crowd is like, is always very, into it. Like, if you hear, I mean, again, the live stuff that just came out on the 1999 Deluxe Collection, those ladies are into it. And so I think that's kind of why he can get away with this, because we know that Prince doesn't need to come to your door and knock all day until you let him in, or, you know, give obscene phone calls, or, you know, I think this issue of consent is a lot less problematic when you consider that this is a guy that is known for, you know, driving women crazy. So
yeah, it's all about the delivery, you know.
Right.
And the song, these lyrics could be really creepy and disturbing and a bit alarming if they're coming from a completely different place. And also the music. I mean, this isn't a music podcast, as I mentioned many times, but you can't get away from that. Ding, 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 ding.
Right.
So that synth line immediately puts everybody kind of in a happy place, because it's a happy, fun jingle and a happy, fun synth line and hook. So and to call yourself a horny toad is a seemingly harmless phrase. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it has connotations of being, like I said, sexually voracious and a little bit preoccupied with the topic of sex, but it is a very nice way to say it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that combined with the music really puts the listener in a place where this is looked at as a light song, in spite of maybe digging deep into the lyrics and thinking like, oh, wait, what is he going to do?
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's all about the delivery, and Prince knew that. There's no dark overtones in the music at all. So, but yeah, that's Horny Toad. And he provides some examples of things that he is willing or is going to do in order to fulfill his sexual need.
If I had your number, I'd call you on the phone. Breathing heavy, back to the world. Maybe I'll start to grow. Just a horny toad. I don't want your money, 'cause I've got only me. All I want is to rub your body until you start to bleed. I don't love you, just a horny toad.
So in the first verse, if I had your number, I'd call you on the phone. I breathe a little heavy, and if that didn't work, maybe I'd start to groan. If I had your number. So he doesn't even have this person's number. So he's like, just, you know, hey, I don't know you at all. I don't even have your phone number. But this is what I would do because you're attracted to me. So it's basically spelling out his intent to commit like an obscene phone call, which could be borderline sexual assault, depending on how it's taken by the receiver.
Right.
Yes. And he doesn't, and then the chorus right after. So these verses are sung pretty quickly. I mean, there's just like three lines. He goes right into the chorus. I don't love you, I'm just a horny toad. Laying it all out there. It's not about love, it's about lust, and it's about physical attraction. And he's basically saying, I'm gonna call you on the phone and I'm going to deliver an obscene phone call to you, but hey, it's not my fault. I'm just a horny toad.
Right.
Don't blame me. I can't help myself. So yeah, that's the first verse. Any comments on the first verse, Zach? I know you've kind of already touched on it.
Yeah, I think like you said, I kind of jumped ahead. I think that pretty much covers it. This is a song that, you know, if you just listen to it casually, you might not pick up on exactly what he's describing here. It's kind of brilliant, the contrast between this bouncy, you know, like you said, the synth line is so bright and like fun. It's very much like Jack You Off in that respect. Yep. Except even in Jack You Off, I think he was only strictly describing consensual activities, whereas in this case he's being a lot more deviant than he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that term deviant is perfect for this, and it's intentional, obviously. I mean, it's not like unintentionally creepy or deviant. It's he's putting these things out there on purpose to be as deviant as he can, to be as naughty and nasty as he can, without going overboard, you know, and it's not like vulgar, you know, but it's
right.
It still straddles that line of, I mean, is there any consent to any of this? We don't know. It's not really, it's not really touched on.
Right.
He's just basically stating facts at this point. Like, this is what I would do because I'm just a horny toad. The next verse, I don't want your money because I got all I need. All I want is to rub your body until you start to bleed. I don't love you. I'm just a horny toad. So, yeah, in the second verse, he unnecessarily explains his financial situation. I don't really know what relevance money has, I guess, other than just to say he's not after, you know, this woman for her money, which is nice, but
right.
Still, he's going almost to insult her.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like, is she at this point interpreting it as a mugging? Like, has she taken out her purse and is like, just take what you need and let me go. And then he's like, no, I don't want your money. You know, maybe this is even darker than I thought. Initially.
Gosh, Zach, you really took this down a dark path. Yeah. Took it down a dark alley. Thanks a lot. But yeah, no, that's funny. It's funny, whatever, but it's a well, almost 37-year-old song. But God, 38, what am I talking about? It's 2020.
I know. I think we're in, we're in denial about how old this song is.
Yeah, 38 years old. But anyway, yes, that is a good point. And I like that analogy just because it's kind of, you're wondering where this is coming from, this comment about not wanting her money. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that is one place when your mind could go when you're listening to the song and reading these lyrics, like, gosh, yeah, she is thinking that he's trying to mug her. But really all he wants to do is rub her body until it starts to bleed. So, you know, put your purse away. It's all good. I just want to do this instead.
Right. Very sadistic line. That's again, he's really getting away with a lot here because I want to make it clear that I very much enjoy this song. Like, I'm not the PC police over here. You know, like when I say that these lines are problematic, it's more to it's more to make a point of like how much he's able to get away with and we'll still like it and it still feels okay. You know, it's actually pretty remarkable because that is a troubling line, but somehow he gets away with it.
Yeah, he does. And he hasn't been canceled as a result of that line.
Right. Not yet.
Not yet. But yeah, this whole song is like that. So then he says, once again, repeats the same chorus. I don't love you. I'm just a horny toad. And with continuing with that, I don't love you line, it just kind of reiterates the point that this isn't about love. Not that at this point, if you're listening, really listening to the lyrics, you would have any doubts that there's any, it's about love, because it's clearly not. He just wants to make that clear. He's like, once again, stating his case as for as being as deviant as possible. Then I believe that there's like a mini synth break between the second verse and the third verse, but this is a very short song. We're talking just over 2 minutes long. It comes and goes just like that because these verses are so short and there's really not a lot of room for musical breakdowns or any kind of bridge for that matter. It's just verse, chorus, slight, or, you know, very small, short musical break, verse, chorus, et cetera, until the song is over with.
Yeah.
So he definitely does the stick and move with this track, which is probably a good idea. I mean, this
yeah,
song.
Yeah, I don't think it could be longer.
No, this song needs to be short. It needs to be short. Partially because of the lyrics, but also partly because the music doesn't do a lot of changing. It's the same, you know, din, 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 with his, you know, his rockabilly guitar stylings in the background, and there's not a lot more going on to it. So extending the song, he would have to have, I would imagine, he would have had to do something differently musically to keep people's interest. But
right, and I think it kind of adds to the like sleaziness of it. You know, this is something that it is a quick transaction, and then it's over, and he's disappeared into the night. You know, like this isn't one of those epic, like
Doomy sexual Baby
or sexual like odysseys. Yeah, exactly. This is the opposite of Doomy Baby. This is, you know, a quickie in a bathroom stall, basically, compared to
nice imagery. Yeah. That works. That works when we're talking about Horny Toad, at least.
Yeah. If I had your address, come right to your door. And I'm gonna date you, let me live my back some more. I'm crazy.
All right, so now he's ready to actually stalk this person. If I had your address, I'd come right to your door. I knock all day till you let me in, and then I knock some more. I ain't crazy, I'm just a horny toad. Okay, so in this third verse, what are you taking away from this third verse, Ed?
I like I ain't crazy because I everything he said up until that point is counter evidence to this to this claim. I think he's been escalating with every verse. It's like, you know, the first one, it's like, well, that's a little, you know, calling somebody up and making sexy noises, that's a little weird, but that's maybe in keeping with the prints that we know from Dirty Mind and the like. And then, you know, the rub your body, it's like, well, I mean, the rubbing your body sounds okay, but really, until we start to bleed, you know, that seems a little extreme. And now he's just showing up at your door and not just knocking to be let in, but then proceeding, like continuing to knock even after he's been let in. You know, he's escalating the craziness every time. And then he's saying, I'm not crazy, despite all of the crazy things that he's been saying to this point.
Yeah, not very convincingly. I'm not right. I'm crazy. Not super convincing. The line, I'd knock all day till you let me in, and then I'd knock some more. I also wonder, I don't know the history behind certain slang terms or phrases.
How long
they've existed, like knocking boots. I don't know if that was in existence in the early 80s. Probably because there was a song, wasn't there a song in the 90s called Knockin' Boots or something like that?
I think about it like late 80s, early 90s, but I am not a slang linguist, you know, I don't know when that would have, but yeah, that's interesting. He's being figurative when he says once he's been let in, he's doing a different kind of knocking.
Exactly. Yeah. So if that's what he meant, that's kind of clever actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that one. And if he didn't mean that, then he's just being a bit annoying and obnoxious by continuing to knock on a door after he's been let in. All right. So then we got another whole verse. I mean, there's like five verses in the song in spite of just two minutes because they're so fast. I mean, they're just like I said, bam, bam, bam. Fourth verse. If you think I'm nasty, you ain't seen nothing yet. You see, I'm the kind of brother that the more you scream, the nastier I get. I can't help it. I'm just a horny toad. Nasty. He's just, as we've already kind of mentioned, he's intentionally being nasty. And nasty in terms of like his language, the coarseness of his language, without, like I said, being vulgar. There's no curse words in this song. And he never really gets explicit about anything sexual. You can kind of maybe assume some things and take away some things from the body till you start to bleed line, but
right,
it's not overt. And I think with this, if you think I'm nasty, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's like, well, what else can you possibly say at this point that's going to, you know, up the ante and increase your nasty level? I don't know what that would be, Prince. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah. I think this verse feels, this is the one that feels to me like this is where he kind of winks at the audience a little bit, you know, like up until this point, he's been playing this, like we said, deviant sexually deviant character. And now I think he's kind of stepping more into the Prince persona of this person who is not only sexual, but also sexually appealing. You know, he's like, the more you scream, the nastier. So I mean, first of all, he says, if you think I'm nasty, you ain't seen nothing yet. So he's telling us that, like, this is, like you said, this is deliberate. You know, he's purposely being provocative. And if you think that what he said to this point is outrageous, then, you know, he's just getting started, kind of a thing. So this feels like a sort of, like I said, a wink at the audience. And then the more you scream, the nastier I get. Like, I feel it. This is something that he would say on stage, even though he never really played Horny Toad, but he would pull out this line, and, you know, the audience would go wild when he would say it. So we're getting more into safer waters, I think, in terms of, you know, the kind of sexuality that he's discussing. We're getting to a point where now you can start to see, okay, well, maybe this woman is into it, you know, because he's nasty, and we like it when he's nasty. He's not just some, you know, pervert accosting us in the yeah, dark alleyway, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like there's some role play going on. You can kind of think of it in those terms.
Right.
Up to this point, you're thinking, wow, this guy's off his gourd, you know, yeah, he's assaulting. Oh, okay, I get it now. It's kind of like this role play thing he might have going on with this woman, where she plays hard to get, he acts like a lunatic, and but, you know, and then she screams, and it's kind of like, she gets it, she likes it, and what kind of screaming she's doing, it could be a little bit of both. Scream in terror.
Right.
Scream in pleasure, who knows, and it's a little bit of both, possibly. The fact that he did take this line into other avenues in his live performances, even though, like you said, the song was not really a staple of any of his concerts. But taking away that line out of the song, out of the context of Horny Toad, and applying it elsewhere with other songs of similar nature, or just, you know, some of his onstage actions, like humping the bed or whatever, that's nasty. And you scream for it, the crowd screams for it, which just tells him that he's on the right path, that it's okay. You know, he's getting the positive feedback that it's all right, as long as it's all done in fun. Mm-hmm. And there's a line right after this verse that he goes, now watch me dance. And this is a place where there's another musical break, very short one, of course, but a musical break after now watch me dance. And that seems like a throwaway line in so many ways, it is almost, but when I think about this line now and listening to the song and reading these lyrics, the line now watch me dance almost comes across like a threat. Yeah, it's like he's like a flasher or exhibitionist that, you know, instead of violating their victims by forcing them to witness something they weren't given a choice to witness, he's doing that, but it's for dancing, you know.
Right.
It's after all the stuff that, you know, they've already seen from him, now watch me dance has a little more menace to it than maybe it would come across in a different song.
Yeah, it is. It's an exhibitionist line. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, now watch me dance. Okay, if you insist. Run, go tell your boyfriend, his lover got you on. Might as well pack his thing, then get his dead ass on the road. And then we get to the final verse after the little break after now watch me dance line. And it's, run, go tell your boyfriend that it's loving done got too old. Might as well pack his things and get his dead ass road. And I won't touch on the last two lines yet, because the last two lines are kind of it takes a different approach than the previous choruses. So yeah. Now he's, in this verse, he's, you know, he doesn't say, if you have a boyfriend, run, go tell your boyfriend. Yeah. So either he knows something that we weren't privy to up to this point, or he's just making an assumption that she's got a boyfriend. But he's essentially telling her that whatever he's offering is going to be way more exciting than what her boyfriend's been offering. His loving's got too old. So that's boring, right? I mean, that's what he's implying here.
Right, right. I think of it as an extension of the, like, again, I feel there's a tonal shift in this song. And this is, you know, again, we're getting this sense of this isn't just, he's not just accosting some poor woman. You know, I think at this point where it's like a happy ending, you know, it's like, well, now she's going to leave her boyfriend and go live on a lily pad. I'm sorry. I spoiled the last two lines, but,
no, it's
but so, you know, but there, this is kind of, they're like disappearing into the sunset moment. And it makes the, it kind of washes the maybe questionable taste of the first couple lyrics out of your mouth just in time for the song to end. You know, we're ending on a brighter, happier note.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's really the last two lines of the song that kind of like ties it all up and as you mentioned, puts a happy spin or a more pleasant spin on the song, if there wasn't already one, is tell him you live on a lily pad with a horny toad. So he's he's run away with this woman. He's convinced her that he's exciting, that he's going to offer her something that her boyfriend was not offering, which is excitement and maybe a little danger. And if she's down with that, then come on, live with me on my lily pad. And just the fact that he ties us back with the slang term of horny toad being somebody who is, you know, very sexually charged. And also, of course, the actual horny toad, which is, you know, the reptile, the horned frog, and living on a lily pad or living near water, is just a clever way to tie the two meanings of the term or the words together. Is just something Prince does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun that it's kind of an unexpected turn that he goes back and kind of adds to this, you know, what at first seems like a very basic, metaphor or, you know, or a symbol. And then he just adds this extra layer at the end. You know, it's not, again, this is not like a masterpiece of lyrics, but I do appreciate this little added cleverness right there at the end of the song.
Yeah. He's targeting a very specific kind of woman in this song. Somebody who gets a little bit of enjoyment out of danger, and who also doesn't have police on speed dial, apparently. So, you know, she's willing to put up with quite a bit before getting to the part where Prince is like, you know, hey, I'm not really a danger to you. I'm not really going to hurt you. If you kind of like this style of courtship, then come join me, because
yeah,
we can do this every day. So yeah, fun song. It's a B-side in probably just every sense of the word, really. I mean, so it's a perfect, for me, it's a perfect B-side to Delirious, from the way the song, like, if you buy Delirious because you like that song, you're probably gonna like Horny Toad. You know, you're going to flip it over and you're going to play the song like, yeah, I got basically Delirious Part Two, which is cool.
Yeah, right. I definitely don't think it would fit on 1999 at all. I think Delirious was the right call. You know, Delirious has this added layer of like synth pop to it. It's a little bit less of a, you know, Jack You Off Part Two. It feels more in step with the rest of the 1999 sound. Horny Toad, even though it was actually, I think, recorded later than Delirious, it feels like more of a throwback, I think. But I'm glad that it came out. It's a song that I have a lot of affection for. I think it's, you know, it's sort of, I interpret it as kind of a fun riff on Prince's reputation. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. he'd already responded, like, he responded to this idea of him being this hypersexual kind of deviant on Controversy, and now this is like a more tongue-in-cheek, you know, hanging a lampshade on it, like, this is who you think I am, kind of a, and so I'm gonna you know, play this role and really relish it. And so I just think it's a lot of fun. And I think that there's kind of a, his rockabilly phase is just interesting to me. I think there's a really solid, maybe EP's worth of rockabilly songs in Prince's canon, specifically from like 81, 82. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he would go back to this well again, stuff like Can't Stop This Feeling I Got, you know, like this isn't the last we'll hear of it, but this is sort of, he went through this phase, and all of the songs are pretty fun. I always thought it would be fun to have a band that just, like a rockabilly band that just plays Prince's rockabilly songs. It's just this fun footnote in his catalog at this stage in his career.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I agree with that. And just a PSA, I don't condone trying any of these techniques out to get a woman's attention in real life.
Yeah, definitely not.
Unless you're Prince, yeah, which you're not. So leave them here and in this song. Okay, well, I mean, sounds like you've kind of put a nice bow tie on your thoughts, Zach. Did you have anything else?
No, I think I think that's it. I think we've definitely pushed the limit in how much you can talk about a 2 minute 12 second song. But
well, that's just what we do,
right?
That's just what we do here. Okay. Well, thank you again for joining me. Contact me, get off your lily pad, and contact me at PressureWine75 on Twitter or Instagram. And also, I have a Facebook page, so you can contact me there. Be happy to hear any comments you have on Horny Toad or any other song that I've done covered up to this point. So thanks again to Zach, and this has been the PressureWine Prince Lyrics Podcast. I've been your host, Jason Brenninger, and until next time, goodbye. Tell him to live on the lily pad with the Horny Toad.